Welcome to the Steam Team Podcast with Brian Briggs and John Samuelson. Join us as we talk about all things science, technology, engineering, arts, and math related. For more information, go to steamteacher.com. Hello, and welcome to the Steam Team. The Steam Team is in the house.
Woohoo!
I'm John Samuelson. I'm up in Portland, Oregon. I'm going to kick it down to my main man, and his name is...
Brian Briggs.
And that is so much better.
That is so much better. I am in Davis, California, right outside Sacramento. So just hanging out. Yeah.
Do you ever bump into Michelle Reed down there in Sacramento?
Michelle? No. I told you that my cousin worked for her.
You did. Yeah. I felt sorry for her.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good outcome. But.
Do you know that there was a tweet the other day that somebody said something about Baltimore Public Schools and something. Oh, it was Joe Flacco visited Baltimore Public Schools and gave them an award, right? Since Joe Flacco's the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. I wish he was the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And so anyway, they went in there and I said, in a side note, Ravens quarterback finds Michelle Reed, opens closet and finds Michelle Reed cheating on standardized tests. But a bunch.
We don't. Right.
Oh, I forgot my stuff. Here, we're supposed to. It's Brian Briggs. Sound effects. We'll get there, Brian, with this one. Thanks for the people that listened to the podcast and shared it out. We appreciate it. So we're going right strong right afterwards. So that was kind of a fake episode because we're just kind of planning things out. We're going to try and see. This might be more like a real episode. So you still might not want to listen to this podcast. We're just saying this right now. You may not want to listen to this podcast, or you may think it's great.
Yeah, that's right. We're, as you say, we're building up steam.
That's right. We're building up. I need to get the hi-hat on my phone. Ever since Google Hangouts lost the stuff, lost the sound effects, whatever. Okay, Brian. So we're going to talk a little bit today about little bits. Ever since doing the little bit stuff, I find out how much I say the word little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I say it a lot. Okay, so little bits, we'll give you a little bit of I'm totally not doing that on purpose. Okay, so we're gonna give some background instead of saying a little bit of background.
Yeah,
so my background is I really thought the little bits looked super cool, and Brian, you can give yours too, your background, in a second. So when I saw, there's a lot of education programs out there. You can be this kind of an ambassador. You can be that kind of an ambassador. You can be an Apple Distinguished Educator. You can be a Google Level Certified 54. So what I thought that I saw real quick right before the Q conference was Little Bits was taking lead educators. So what I did was, I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's cool. I do like the little bits. I'd like to get to know how to use them more. And if you did a kind of a thorough little, it wasn't that thorough, but you did some little Google form and whatever, and some, you had to actually submit a letter of recommendation too. They said that you could pilot their new coding kit before it was available to everyone else, and they would give you three of them.
Oh, nice.
And so that's about $900 worth of little bits. And I thought, you know what? I'll start doing the educator programs. If they give me some stuff to use with students and then I can keep using with students, that's a substantial amount of little bits. Three coding kits before they're available to the public is really cool. So before we go into this, we will deliver disclaimers on things. So disclaimer, I am a Little Bits lead educator and I will be at ISTE at the booth, but that's because I'm just one of the 16 people that has actually really used the kit with students. So there's my disclaimer for you. I had a ton of little bits, and I just hadn't really been using them too much. I'd even bought the PD online, which I'm trying to get reimbursed for my school district, and they're giving me a totally hard time for it, which is great because you know how my payroll department is, right, Brian? So anyway, any chance to give me some static, they're ready for it. But so I haven't even taken the Steam Set PD online, but I do have it ready to go. So I figured the best way to get iPad Sammy working on stuff is just to throw him into the fire and make me do stuff. So I do have some real big hands-on experience with it. And there's not a lot of people that do right now with this code kit. So when you first saw Little Bits, Brian, tell us about what you thought.
The little bits, I forget when I saw them, maybe about 2 years ago, when they first started beta them out. And I really thought they were cool when I first saw them. I thought, you know, I'd be interested in them. So I ordered, that's when you, I ordered the, what was it, the Wi-Fi kit. And that was even before they had boxes. It was delivered in a little burlap bag.
Oh, wow. You're way old school in the little bits then.
Yeah. Yeah, so I still have those two kits, and you know, I just love the idea of these little modules that you can just clip together, and then the thought of you can use them with different kits to make an even like an elaborate kind of connections. I'm trying to like how to associate with something. It's like circuitry, mm-hmm. basically. So you just clip these things together. And they're magnetic, so you know which side it fits on because they're going to click together. And again, it just really feeds into that maker mentality, because whatever you can think of, whatever you can wonder about, you can attempt to make it with these. So I ended up getting a couple more sets, like the synthesizer set, the what's the room one? The
Rule Your Room.
Rule Your Room. I have the bass set. And again, I just got them for myself to tinker around with before, you know, getting sets for school. I got to say, you gave your disclaimer. My one disclaimer is they're not cheap. But they're not overly expensive. They're right around, again, it seems like the market for price-wise is probably around $100 for a lot of the robot stuff anyways. So this falls right in line on that. But when you're trying to buy multiple kits for your district or your schools, it does add up. So that's why I was just getting a few that I could do on my own. And then I do it with my kids also mm-hmm. at the house, just so I can get ideas. And like you said, force yourself into it. So that's kind of like how I got into it and then started following or seeing what you were doing. And then mm-hmm. I got some. And then how long ago did they mention the coding kit? Is it about 3 months ago?
Yeah, it was about 3 months ago, I think.
Yeah, I saw the little announcement for it, and I was dying for it. I signed up for the beta when it first came out, but I haven't pulled the trigger on it because it is on the high side.
It's $299.95. Right.
Yeah.
And then right. So that's what we're even though like, so we're doing this show, but right. By no means. I mean, and I do like them. If I didn't like them, I would be honest with them. I'm usually pretty honest. In fact, probably honest to a fault, Brian, that gets me in trouble, especially with administrators. Right. I'm kind of honest. So anyway, they're not like you can buy classroom sets, but they do run you about $4,900 if you want like the full setup. And I can remember when I saw Tim Lauer in Portland Public Schools, our fine administrator who has now moved across the border to Washington.
Oh.
But he bought one for his school and they really liked them at Lewis, but you're buying it for $5,000 is what you're buying it for. And yeah, I thought once they started doing the Rule Your Room kits and things like that, I think that it's really interesting. And so anyway, so I'll go into a little bit of what we're talking, keep saying a little bit. I'll go into what we're talking about. So the coding kit is pretty much brand new, released on June 1st. Okay. Right now it is currently June 21st. So it's been out for 3 weeks. You probably haven't used it with students. I used it for the entire month of May with students.
Okay.
And currently right now we're still in school in Portland, by the way. We get out tomorrow in Beaverton, Oregon. Woo-hoo! Portland's probably out. I know, we should give applause for that. Yeah. So this is their second kit that is designed specifically for students and education. I mean, everything that they do is designed for kids, right, and students. Yeah. But this is their one focus more on teachers. So there's the STEAM education kit, mm-hmm. and then there's now the coding kit. Okay. Brian and I are huge fans of the computer science and the coding. We will probably do something later on. And in fact, I'll mention one of my old episodes. I have the only episode of Teaching in Beta podcast right now, but I do have an interview with Natalie Rusk from the MIT Media Lab. And there's a whole bunch of cool stuff that's going on with Scratch too. Do you have an episode of Check This Out, Brian, that talks about coding a little bit?
I think we do have one. I can't tell you the exact episode.
Because you guys have a million episodes and actually have been podcasting. It's easy for me to say it's episode one because it's the only one I've done. So there we go, right there. And check one of the 75 episodes of Check. How many episodes are you up to on Check This Out now?
Like I said, was, I think, roughly around 63 I did this.
You guys are doing it. Yeah, you guys, that's good. You're like me when I used to, Techlandia days, we used to be so, we were so energetic and young back then. Now I'm old, gray hair, I'm receding hairline. So the little bits are, so the little bits, $300, okay, for the coding kit. Now what was advised for us, and their standard is, it's one kit for every three students. Okay, so they're okay. So do the math. When it's I had
$100,
$100 a student, right? So then, when you're thinking about it, we wanted to be fair when we tested it out with a class, because I asked a class in Beaverton. I did it with a group of third graders and a great teacher, Miss Willis, and I took them out in rotations of three. So I probably did three times as much work as they wanted me to, because you worked it with 27 students basically. And there's probably 26 or 25, but that's, you know, we took them out in groups of three. So I would go there for after lunch and take them out in rotations and work with them for about the 30 or 45 minute lessons. So how you set it up is, there is a little bit, if you go right now, there's a Chrome extension.
Oh, nice.
That works with, and you can download the other extensions for computers too. We happen to be on Chromebooks, and so that's what they had. And so we use them with the Chrome extension. And then you have one of those little USB things that you plug into one of the, for Bluetooth. And so then it hooks in through Bluetooth. And when it hooks in, you can hit the button on the code bit, which is it's a really large bit. I'm sure if they sell them separately, it's got to probably be, because they will sell the bit separately. And if you're one of the eight people that are watching the YouTube channel, I do have like one of them right here. So this is one of our ones for USB power. Blue is power. And then that was one that I'm going to send back, because it kind of, of course, a girl broke it right away. And power is the most, one of the more important one bits to have. So anyway, it's just interesting. So it'll hook in, you hit a little button, and it'll say like it's the amazing muskrat or something like that. It's like, ooh, do you want to hook to the, you know, the Crash Bandicoot dongle or whatever, and then that's the name of your code bit. And okay, so each of them have kind of like interesting names like that. Like, I'm serious, I think Amazing Muskrat was one of them. And so then they hook into it, and then what they can do is, in the, you can either start with a blank canvas, mm-hmm, or you can start with one of their four projects to do.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how it starts out. And so there are four already made projects that they have videos of that you can show: Rockstar Guitar, Hot mm-hmm Potato of Doom, Ultimate Shootout, and Tug of War. Okay, so they have all those available. So are you following me so far, Brian? Because I don't want to talk too much, but
one question sure I have for you on there: is it Blockly coding, or is it using their own type of, like, I can see them using like pulling a module over mm-hmm and then linking it that way.
So that was a little bit of one of the more challenges for me. So it is their own form of block coding.
Okay.
So it is a block coding, but it is a little bit different than Scratch. Like, so you're not using Scratch, you're kind of using their own version of a block coding, kind of like you would, what we were talking about with Ozo Blockly.
Okay.
And the Ozobots from the first episode. So it was a little bit more of a challenge, because I think I'm getting better at Scratch is what I'm getting at, because I've been teaching a lot of lessons with it. So I'm good at debugging Scratch. A little bit harder for me, I think, as I get used to it, I'll be better with it. So we were chosen to do, luckily, I could have chosen between. So they kind of a little bit said, do either this one or that one. So I got Hot Potato of Doom or Guitar.
Okay.
So we chose the guitar, because, nice, of course, why would you not choose the guitar? And my daughter, who's in second grade, we went through the Hot Potato of Doom, and she made that no problem. On her own, I didn't even help her. I just gave her the video, uh-huh, and let her watch. And she made it, Brian.
Okay, so what is the Hot Potato of Doom?
The Hot Potato of Doom is not actually like you go to Idaho, pick a potato, eat it, and then, you know,
put Tabasco sauce on it.
Right, exactly. You don't go and like have to meet Simon Miller from Idaho and then get a secret password. So the Hot Potato Doom is just they have these little mounting boards that you can snap the kits onto. They're that come with a kit. It's like a white square with a bunch of circles on it, and then you can snap the bits in there. So this is how we have the guitar. And in fact, when we do this, Brian and I are actually doing a wait for it. Here, wait. Let's see what we can do. That's a modem. That's the only sound effect I had, though. We are actually doing a Google Doc where we have some links. And so what we're thinking is, as we were actually making the doc, and we were kind of talking to each other back and forth on Voxer, and we're like, hey, we're kind of deciding what we're going to do here. We're kind of morphing this podcast. So we'll make an Adobe Spark page with the links, and I will also include some pictures so that you know what I'm talking about, and we'll include a link to the podcast. So if people out there, and not that we're trying to do you ever try and cater to listeners, Brian, and be like, oh, please, you know, give me a review in iTunes? And do you do that stuff?
We try, but it doesn't work.
Right. So then you try and do that. And if anybody ever wants to give us a review on iTunes, we would totally take one. Yeah. But we're not going to ask for it every episode. So, but we would love for you to share the work, because we are trying to do some work here. And we would love for people to know about this stuff. So if this sounds interesting to you, share the Adobe Spark page. It's just a quick like retweet or share the link or whatever. So we'll have the links to a bunch. Brian put in tons of stuff. I put in absolutely none of stuff, but Brian put in tons of stuff, but that's why now I'll make the page. So it's really cool. And the Hot Potato is on there. So you put all the bits on there, and then it kind of has a timer that you code, and it counts down. So you play Hot Potato. So you pass it around, and then it kind of gets faster and faster, and then it explodes. And then what's cool about these kits is it has a little LED matrix, and it can say boom. And so with the LED matrix, the kids loved it because you can put pictures on there, and that's all part of the coding. So that I feel like that's something that's really different that other coding things don't offer. You can't really code an LED matrix. And in fact, when you do the first lesson is called one of those Hello World ones. So you get the LED matrix to print, you know, it looks like a Goodyear blimp going Hello World. And then the kids were like, whoa. Okay. And so that hooked them in. That was the first one.
Does the LED screen come with the kit?
Yes.
And how big is the screen?
I would say it's 16 by 16 pixels is what it is, but it's probably about 5 inches by 5 inches. It has to be big enough where you can see it, but it also has to be small enough so you can pluck it onto the mounting board and then have the other bits that are in there too.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. I mean, it's a decent size.
Yeah.
And you can animate on it. You can put words to scroll across.
You answered my other question I had. Like you said, it's like 3 students per kid is ideal.
Yes, and that's what's recommended for sure.
Okay, that's cool. Because again, it falls in line. Another pricey one is Lego and the NXT, but I think they recommend 2 per kit, and those kits are expensive. So, I mean, I like the idea about the 3 students per kit, and maybe you can stretch it to 4, maybe give them each a role. For keeping that, because my other part that I don't know if you've stumbled upon, if you had any of these little pieces walk away.
So that brings up a good point. All right, so here I can give you a little. Here's our pro tip for you. First of all, I did have 5 girls working on one.
Okay,
we had a group that they couldn't get together, and it's tough for me because as a TOSA, remember, teacher out at Starbucks all the time. Feel free to use that with your friends. People have been stealing it a lot lately. So as a TOSA, I don't know the ins and outs of every third grade student, right? I only know that I taught for 20 years, but it's been a while since I've been in the classroom. So I kind of made my executive decision. I was like, ooh, no, we're not going to have problems. You 5 work together. And they actually work together pretty well, but they're probably the engagement on one of them, probably not the best, you know? So 4, I think 4 is definitely doable.
Oh, nice.
Okay. For that one. So anyway, after we do that, that's one of the, so when you have that, how much are the Lego WeDo kits? Are they about the same price range?
The WeDos, I don't know the price of those.
$249. They might be close. They're in the ballpark. They're in the ballpark for sure. That'd be a good one for us to talk about sometime too, is the WeDos. I've done a lot of work with those too. Okay. So the first lesson's Hello World. And so that was great. Pull them out the second day, and then I showed them the video for Rockstar Guitar, and then I did it completely out of order from the video because they show how to do all the coding and how to connect the bits, And then they put the Makerspace guitar, which is out of cardboard or whatever. And I'll include the pictures and the stuff. But so then I did it the opposite. So I had him go the second day. I had him go completely Makerspace. We didn't even use the little bits.
Okay.
And then we made our guitar outlines. So the next day we came in. Now, here's the pro tip for not losing little bits, going back to that, because you'll find out if you listen to any of the Techlandia podcasts, you'll know that John's ADHD wanders. And I just came back to what Ryan said. So here's my pro tip. I bought a Milwaukee tool case at Home Depot. And I'm going to give a shout out to my boss, actually. My boss is the boss that I really, really like. This is one boss I would never say a bad word about. So my boss, John Peplinski in Beaverton School District, I'm going to give him a shout out. He said, hey, have you seen this? They used it for something different. But you can get these red tool kits at Home Depot for $24.95. Nice. And they have little red cups in there that you can modularly put in there. And then they have two kind of longer cups that fit at the top. So you have about 10 compartments. It's used for like nails and screws usually. But so what I do is I just sort the little bits. So I put like the three code bits that I had into that one. I put all the power ones into another one. And there's some other stuff that goes with this. So the way I did it was I could just put out all the kits at the same time with this, because what you find out is I tried to keep them in the nice little boxes. Yeah. It just doesn't work. You try and put them in, and you're like, what compartment? It's got these things. And I know they have stickers for them, but I'm one of those people that doesn't read the directions. I just go for it. Right.
Yeah. Cause the other thing, like you said, that's a good point about the toolbox. What I envisioned was if I was getting a couple of them, I was going to put them in the fishing tackle boxes.
Right, exactly. Whatever works for you is, you know what I'm saying? And then I had three kits, and then I actually had bought some extra supplemental kits, because if you watch little bits, maybe we need a tip. All right, let's see. Here we go. Here's a pro tip sound effect. Okay. So yeahs are pro tip sound effects. So number one, get the toolbox. But then number two is, if you watch for little bits, especially around the holiday season, they had a 2-for-1 sale. Mm-hmm. So I bought one of the kits for $149, but I actually got two of them. Then I just supplemented with those. So then, right. So then you're paying $75 is not that bad.
And earlier you mentioned power. Do they all use 9-volt?
So, right. So some of them use 9-volt. Mm-hmm. And then, so some of them now, so the code kit actually has and this is the one I have right here, actually. So it's a micro USB power, kind of like the Raspberry Pi.
Got it.
Right? So then you can just plug this in. And then there are also little clips, and nobody will see this, but there's little blue clips that you can put on like some of the other supplemental bits, and then they'd get the power because you're plugged in to the USB. And the thing that's cool about it, like you're saying, they're magnetic, but they also do have little tiny arrows on them that show you which way the power is going. So that if you do, and that saved a couple of the kids. So I said, look at that and see, are your arrows all matched up and going the same way? And they weren't. So then they could go ahead and debug that.
I kind of, I like on the little modules how they're kind of like, they look like they're handwritten on there.
So. Right. Right. The USB power says USB power on it. So.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
I want you to share, if you can, the Rockstar guitar video with me offline. So, is that with the synth kit?
Yeah. So no, So here's the thing. So the synth kit, totally separate. We didn't even have to use the synth kit. It's all the coding kit. But if you have the synth kit, Brian,
yeah,
I think you could combine it and make it pretty awesome because it uses the same speaker. So one of the speaker bits comes with the coding kit.
So I can make the ZZ Top two neck guitar.
You could totally. So right. So that's awesome. You could pretend you're Dusty Rhodes, whatever you want to do.
Because I am a sharp dressed man.
I know. I used to drive by LaGrange all the time, and when I lived in Austin, I mean, I was like, wow, it's LaGrange. And then you look, and it really is. It's LaGrange where ZZ Top is from. The song is about. So. We won't even go there. But remember, the song LaGrange is kind of like the movie with Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds about a place that we're not supposed to mention in Texas. Oh, the best little place to go in Texas. There we go. We try and give pop. You know what? We didn't give any pop culture on the last one. We'll try and throw some pop culture at you. That's one thing, Brian. Can you throw pop culture? Because Scott Bedley can't throw pop culture. He's like, who's Jonah Hill? And I'm like, come on, dude. You don't know who Jonah Hill is? You can't pull that name out and tell me some movies?
I can do some pop culture, especially like 80s trivia, too, would be good, too.
Right, Brian. Scott can't even do that, Brian. I mean, he's like Scott Bedley. Man. Teacher of the year, but yet sometimes those teacher of the year. So when you do the cardboard part, then the next day we coded the stuff and you watch the video and it does show you how to put them together. And then you can do like there's little sliders and then it totally changes pitch. And I do have like a little Vine video that I can put into the Adobe Spark page. And it's awesome. And so they cut it out and they were really psyched, took pictures. Put it on a bulletin board next to their guitars, because then after they make their guitar and played for a few minutes, it was time for the next station to go. Like, because I had other students going, so we had to disassemble everything, and then put it back one more time so that the other people could do it.
Okay,
so it doesn't stay together too long with the white square on it with all the bits, and like there's a little extra wire that you can put up onto the neck of the guitar. It's really cool. Okay. So.
I have two questions for you.
Sure.
When you were working with these groups, one question, how many days did you work with them?
Okay, so the first day we introduced and just I had them explore. Okay. The second day we did, so these are about 30 to 40 minutes each time.
Okay.
I had a good flexible teacher. With Miss Willis is a good, I'll say her name, Margaret Willis, is a good flexible teacher. So introduction the first time, just kind of had them explore, showed them, introduce some of the parts. Second one was Hello World, and they got it to work. Third one was watching the video, Makerspace guitar cardboard building. Fourth day was coming in, hooking up the guitar, doing the coding. And now the fifth part of it, which is pretty cool, is what we did is we went back, and then now it's time for them to iterate and create their own invention.
Nice.
And so we gave them actually... I gave them probably a double lesson on that one. So each one was 90 minutes.
Okay.
For that last one.
The follow-up question was on the very last day when they're coming in to do starting from scratch.
To create their invention.
Yeah. Were they still interested? Were they really engaged still with them?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They really were. They really were. There was, I kept coming in. So I was coming in a lot at that point. There was one girl that was kind of like, she kind of looked at me and she was goofing around. I said, hey, if you're going to like get goof around, I'm like, you don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of looked at me. And so this will say a little bit about my management style or whatever, but I kind of looked at her and was like, no, you don't understand. I'm waiting for an answer. You really don't need to be here. This is not a requirement. So you either are choosing to be here and participating or you're going back to the room. I'm like, it's okay. I won't be mad at you.
Yeah.
And she's like, silence, right? Because she's like, okay. Wait, who's this weird guy? And I said, no. I said, I'm requiring an answer. Are you going to stay here and participate? Or are you going back to the classroom? I will require an answer within about the next 5 seconds. And so then she's like, oh, I'll stay. So she stayed.
Yeah.
But we had students that stayed in during their recess. And we had a student that stayed behind during their lunchtime and just ate their lunch. And they have a nice little section in the library where it's kind of their makerspace staff meeting place. And that's where we did.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you get that interest, especially on that last day is, you know, when it's personalized, it's something that they want to do. And I think you can get more buy-in in that. So I think those first couple of days, they get them to buy in on it. And again, having the lessons and activities, because I always fear of, they're bored with it already. Mm-hmm. And I guess it goes back to the lessons. If the lessons are engaging and then want that and like create it to have them want more, I think that sets it up for the next time. So the fifth day there, the fifth lesson there of, you know, build something of your own.
Mm-hmm.
So like, because that was yesterday, I brought in the little bits I have from the garage and I handed them to my daughter and I said, here, make something. So she just started making, and then she stumbled upon there's an app on the iPad that has a list of inventions you can make. You know, it's like a library of them.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the, and so then that's the final piece. So this is what I have to do for The kids, I actually just have to type them up and upload them for them. But so that was part of the kind of the deal for my culmination of what I had to do was I had to kind of decide which were the good inventions and try and upload three of them. The important thing about Little Bits is if you go to the website, and of course we'll put the links on the Adobe Spark page, and Brian has links to tons of inventions and lessons and task cards, but that's the thing. Any of your daughter could make something. You would just snap a couple pictures, tell what bits you used, and give some directions, and you can upload it. So it's like a community. It's like Scratch. That's what mm-hmm. we love about Scratch, right? I mean, so you could take someone's invention, and instead of just remixing it like you would do in Scratch and then kind of hacking it and making it your own, you could take one of the inventions and do the same thing with it, just with your bits. So,
yeah, it's kind of like you're reading it on the computer and bringing it into real life. And I think... For me, that's if a company is like a great company is when they do things like that without charging, mm-hmm. Like because Scratch does it, Little Bits, Raspberry Pi has a great resource mm-hmm. section where, again, you don't have to know how to do it right away. But if you give me some resources where I can build upon it and modify, isn't that hacking? So, again, mm-hmm. you can hack your way through it. So I think that's really cool. So the Little Bit sound, I know, I don't know if he's one of your ambassadors is David Saunders.
No, I mean, I think it was just kind of like, I don't think it was very publicized with this one. So yeah. I think it was just kind of kept under the radar. And so it was people that could really like, they had some thing you really had to use it with students or else they were going to take them back. Right.
Yeah. So David is out on the East Coast. And he has libraries mm-hmm. instead of libraries. And he has two, I believe he oversees like two. That. And I think he has two of like the huge lab kits, which is like what, like 2,000 pieces.
Yeah.
And he shares a lot of great stuff on Twitter. He's Design Saunders. So he's been my resource if I've had questions before you. Mm-hmm. Was that BJ? but he's another great resource to look out to also. So yeah, they're in again, Twitter again, look at some, a lot of people do share, which is great. Cause again, these are fun, engaging little pieces that again, it fosters that wonder, you know, I wonder what I can do. Like I already, with the synth kit I shared with you, I want to make two turntables and be a DJ.
Right.
And see if I can make the scratching sound and play like to Houdini or, you know,
yeah.
Furious Five and like scratch along with the synth kit. So that's kind of one thing I've want to sit down and tinker around with.
I know it'll be good when school is finally out here in Beaverton in the summertime, if we can actually sit down and do something.
Have it like your summer is going to be like 2 weeks and then it's going to be the new school year to start again.
We start after Labor Day. So we have that at least. Okay, here we go. I've decided this is the theme to the crowdsource corner.
Crowdsource corner.
Got okay. It. All right. So my crowdsource corner for this. So do we pick the same one? We might as well. Are we just going to do the one or you want to do both?
Let's do both. And now here's, since this is new, we're still building on this. Let's say you have to make it as an elevator pitch.
Okay.
So ooh. You got to go quick.
Okay. Okay, so my elevator pitch. Okay, so mine, so we picked the same one, we'll confess right now.
Yeah, we did.
What's the deal with the gold Kickstarter right now until it's just ones that are relaunching?
They're relaunching or they're like ones that are popular, kind of, you know, the gold standard.
Okay, so here's the gold standard. So I didn't know this, but so of course it's suggested for me. So Cubetto, I do have experience with because we do have some in our school district. Cubetto is a way for teaching 3 to 5 year olds, 3 to 6 year olds coding using a big block robot that will move and a big block board, and you don't even need an iPad then, where you can pluck blocks in with the arrows, and then they have a big mat where you can say go to this lake and they have to kind of find, or they can find their way around things. So it is probably the earliest type of coding logic-based kind of robot that I've seen that you can use, Cubetto.
That's a great precursor to the Bebop. All right, we need the little elevator signs. Here we go. Floor one. Mine is called Turtle, like a turtle, but Turtle. What it is, it's a little robot. It's a little small robot that uses solar power, and you put it in your garden, and it's got like a little weed cutter on the bottom. So you just set it on your garden, so it tills up the ground with its angled wheels. And then it's got like a little weed eater thing that chops the weeds that then cultivates into the soil. And it just constantly runs. There's no battery. It gets its power from the sun. So whenever it gets charged, it goes forever as long. And if there are plants that you want to keep in your garden, you put a little guard up around it and it feels that bump and then it moves on. So if there are seedlings, it won't cut them. And then once they grow tall enough, you can take the guard off. When it bumps into the plants, it keeps on going. So it just tills up your garden, and it's, I guess, it's the robot version of a farmer. I just envision it as a large scale, building these biggers for bigger farms. This is, again, a son of a farmer, just being able to just set it loose and, you know, you alleviate my job going out pulling weeds. So floor two.
I always say that about you. You're a son of a farmer.
Son of a farmer. That's why I went into teaching, so I wouldn't go on the farm.
All right, I'm going to try and talk as little as possible because I have a feeling the thing will give us a preview of next episode, Brian Briggs.
Next episode, it's not going to be next week because next week is ISTE, and I will be hashtag not at ISTE, but John is going to go. So if you're at ISTE, look for him in the Little Bits booth, you the six people watching. But when we come back, he's going to do his ISTE recap. And I wonder, that could be an episode in itself of all the STEAM stuff that you do find. Cause I would love to see, like, because again, on the vendor floor, if they have any new gadgets or gizmos, some tools that you can do, I'd love to hear. But again, we'll probably do the ISTE recap and Raspberry Pi for next episode. The Raspberry Pi, we could probably do a few episodes and bring some people in.
Oh, wait, I was trying to do something. Get muted while I'm playing the song. So yeah, we'll do it. You know what? We want to try and keep the episodes. We feel like we dumped a lot of stuff in the. Well, I mean, we did kind of dump a lot of stuff in the first episode. We were just brainstorming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll talk Raspberry Pi. I'll meet up with some Raspberry Pi people at ISTE, and then maybe instead of Crowdsource Corner, we'll do two things I found at ISTE that maybe people haven't heard of or something.
We don't. Yeah, that'd be good.
If you do like, I do like it when people throw a bunch of stuff like. Tools and items at me. That podcast is called Check This Out with Ryan and Brian. You might know one of them. It's Brian. So yeah, we'll try and keep this one a little bit more focused. And I think we're about to head over our. So it looks like we're shooting for 30 minutes an episode, but we're probably more likely 40 minutes an episode. If that's a problem,
we'll fine tune it.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter and we'll try and fine tune it a little bit. But look for the Adobe Spark page. We're doing this one, right? We're doing this all summer, right?
Oh, definitely.
So next week we'll have a new episode, and the new episode will be Raspberry Pi and ISTE. I'll be back from ISTE at Thursday. We'll find some time Friday, Saturday. Can you find some time Friday, Saturday, or Sunday next week?
I think so.
Okay, that's good. The Packers aren't starting their preseason camp in Sacramento or anything. So this is the thing. Brian and I are good friends, but I'm a Bears fan, unfortunately, and he's a Packers fan, fortunately for him. Yeah. So, I can't even argue with him now until the Bears get respectable. So there we go.
Until we hit 500.
All right, Brian, do you have the sign off? Go ahead and hit it.
I think till next time, keep on wondering.